And once again, immediately after this service is our first Sunday fellowship dinner. Everyone is invited to be a part of that. Amen. We'd love if you could stay in fellowship. I know it would be a blessing to you. Amen. Appreciate the fellowship of the saints. Also remember, next Sunday is Mother's Day. So remember that. Amen. Remember that. And it's always a good time to honor mothers. And I know it's a tough time for some, but nevertheless, it's just a good time of the year to do so. And appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the mothers. Amen. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. If you're there, we're going to start reading there at verse 26. Many of you are familiar with this story. And matter of fact, Wednesday night, I made mention of it. I think it was in the church hall. I was talking to somebody, and we mentioned about Philip here and this eunuch. And we're going to just talk about this real quick this morning. And I'm going to title this Personal Evangelism. Personal Evangelism, and just some thoughts that have been on my heart. And I just want this to be a blessing this morning, a challenge to you as a church. Acts 8 and 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I want you to notice that. This man had come to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah, or the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is the water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39, And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. A good bit of reading this morning, but nevertheless, as I've already told you, I'm preaching to you on personal evangelism. If you were to notice here in the reading that we have read right then in our text, there are four different questions that are asked there. And that's always a good way when you see that many questions. We can look at those questions, and by the end of this message today, we're going to strive to answer all of these. But notice there in verse 30, Philip asked the eunuch man, there he said, Do you understand what you are reading? He said, Well, do you understand what you are reading? And then the response of this Ethiopian here in verse 31, How can I unless somebody guides me? Verse 34, What does the prophet speak of? In verse 36, What doth hinder me from being baptized? Now, when we look at this narrative here, this passage of scripture here this morning, here, I want you to notice something, because when you read the book of Acts chapter 8, it is amazing that Philip has just had a unique and spectacular revival there in Samaria. You know the story. We know that as the Christians were beginning to be persecuted there, it opens up there in the book of Acts chapter 8 that Philip goes down to Samaria. And there he finds that Samaria has been bewitched by a sorcerer there, a false prophet. But we know that Philip went down there, he preached, he saw miracles, he saw demons cast out, he saw people healed. How many agrees that sounds like a revival at its finest? Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing here today if we seen demons cast out, blinded eyes open, and people healed? We would all leave here and thinking to ourselves, my, certainly we have been in the presence of the Lord. But not only that, we know that Peter and John comes down to Samaria after they hear what has been happening, and there they lay hands on the folks and they receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And so once again, with the evidence speaking of other tongues, what an amazing revival they have just witnessed there. Samaria had been bewitched. One preacher preached a message one time called the Spellbreaker. Here Philip is, goes down to Samaria, breaks the spell. It says they were bewitched, and no doubt they've seen a spectacular revival. So I want you to notice that is the atmosphere in which Philip is when he hears from this angel. Now, this was a divine appointment that we're reading about right here. And once again, I have titled this Personal Evangelism. This was a divine appointment that God had orchestrated. And it provides a beautiful lesson of what it is to be obedient to the Spirit and reaching out to a seeking heart on a personal level. The time, the location, the person was all a part of God's divine plan for this one man, this one eunuch here, this Ethiopian, to be born again. How many realizes this, that God operates in divine appointments? It is no chance this morning that you are here or have been here for any season of your life. If you have been challenged by the Spirit, if you have felt the presence of the Holy Ghost on your life, understand this, that God has a divine appointment in your life. Now, I'm sure this has happened to you at one place or another, but where all of a sudden you meet a person, and as you begin talking to this one person, you eventually, if you didn't realize it before, but sometime during the conversation, you knew that it was God ordained that you had such a conversation. In studying this, my mind went back to one time. I was riding down Highway 17 in North Carolina. I was in the state truck. I was working for the state at the time, the state of North Carolina, and there I had a state vehicle. I was riding down the road, and we have a policy with our state vehicles. You're not just to pick up people and ride around. You're not supposed to have a bunch of passengers unless it is work related. Well, one day I was riding down the road, and I came across a man that was hitchhiking. I'll never forget it. He was a black man. I remember driving past there. He was a tall gentleman, and I remember feeling instantly in my spirit, and I don't say this happens all the time to me. I'm not one of those guys, but all of a sudden I felt a prompting in my heart that I needed to pick that man up. Man, I began to negotiate in my mind how it was not simple. It wasn't a reasonable thing. It was against state policy, Holy Ghost. This can't be you. And all of a sudden, I felt such an urgency in my spirit that I went back and I said, what am I doing? I'm going to end up dying. What's going to happen here? And I stopped and I picked this man up. He was shocked. I was shocked. And I said, once you get in, sir. So he crawls in there. And all of a sudden, I'm looking beside me. There's this tall man. And I said, how you doing? He was a very nice and a very kind man. I said, well, you know, where are you trying to go? He explained to me where he was going. It was a little bit out the way, but nevertheless, I felt like I could make it work there on the state paperwork. I realized it was just a few miles out of the way, and so I would just make it work. And I wasn't dishonest about it, because, be honest with you, sometimes you do have to go here and there. And so I needed to get gas on the way, so I worked it all out. But going across that bridge, as we were talking there, he asked me who I was, and I told him what I did, and we began talking about the Lord a little bit. And he said that at one time he used to go to church, and we kept going on and on in the conversation. And he said, well, what church did you go to? And I told him where I went, and he didn't have a clue where it was, and you don't either. Most of you wouldn't in Tyner, North Carolina. You said, what's the mailing address? We don't have one. They actually send the mail to the pastor's home, because there really is no, the mailing address is unknown to us. And I'll explain that another time, maybe in personal conversation. But all of a sudden he said, who's the pastor of that church? And I said, well, the pastor of the church, his name is Irvin Ambrose. And he looked at me with big eyes. He said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, he would not by chance be from Manio, North Carolina, would he? I said, actually, that's where he's from originally. And he looked at me and he said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, about 30 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, I worked with Irvin Ambrose at the boating dock there in Manio. He said, he was a wild person. Is he really serving the Lord? I said, not only is he serving the Lord, sir, he helps manage a youth camp. He is a pastor of a church. So what I'm telling you is, I felt a prompting in my spirit to pick a man up who had no tie. He lives across the bridge. And if you were to know the area that I'm from, you would realize how rare this would be. And he hasn't known Irvin Ambrose recently, but from 30 years ago, and didn't know Irvin was the pastor of a church. I was able to talk to that man about the Lord. I look at times like that, and often I'm taken back at the amazing providence of God, of how he can work things out, that you meet people, and at that moment in prayer with him, I realized that that was such a moment. We find such a moment right here in the Bible. Once again, the time, the location, and the person. person was all a part of God's plan. Let's notice, number one, the strange command and this instant responsiveness of Philip here complying with what God says to him. It lets us know there in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert." Now, once again, this is a strange command. Here he is in a state of revival. Now, I want you to get that. He's in the middle of a divine revival, and here the Lord, through an angel, is speaking to Philip to leave that revival and to go down to a desert road somewhere, isolated from everybody else. Now, I don't know about you, but human reasoning would instantly try to kick in the situation. Somebody would say, well, we're in the middle of revival right now. This would be foolish for me to leave this revival and to go there. And but then Philip, if he wanted to argue, he could have said, well, Lord, here, Peter and John ain't doing nothing in Jerusalem except coming down here trying to figure out what's going down here. Can't you send one of the apostles from Jerusalem to do something like this? And he could have went on and on with excuses, but nevertheless, this angel spoke to him, and this man complied with this commandment from this angel. Notice this, the command was this, to head for the desert, an isolated place. And as I was reading about the location of this, you would understand that this would be something that was just out of the way in a sense. It was a very desert road. It was not there, even though it was well traveled. Nevertheless, this had to be the Spirit of God leading him to do such a unique thing. But notice this, there was a sacred cause in doing this. Can I say to you today and encourage you that you are to have such a sensitivity with your walk with the Lord that you ought to be able to discern and understand when God is leading you to do something? If God never leads you to do anything, I would look at my own heart and ask God, Lord, help me to be more sensitive. Amen. I often look back at the sensitivity of my early years as a believer, and even though I may have been overly, sometimes I looked at God there, and if I was running out of gas, made it to the gas station, thank you, Lord. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter if I found some money on the ground, found a few pennies, and Lord, you're good, mighty, you're mighty good today. But sometimes as we're serving the Lord, if you're not careful, we don't quite look as we should for those divine appointments in life. What is God trying to do in this moment here? There was a sacred cause for him doing this. Notice it says, and he arose and he went. Amen. Let that be said of you, that when God asks you to do something, you obey the Lord and you go where he wants you to go. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, I want you to notice this, and please think with me, Bible students, because I found this amazing in study. We are now witnessing the first three remarkable conversions here that we see here in the book of Acts, as far as remarkable at being a little different than the usual case. In chapter 8 here, we see the conversion of an Ethiopian. He is a black man, a representative of the family of Ham in the Old Testament. Now, Bible students, I want you to get this. Ham in the Old Testament, he would have been from that race. In chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul, later known as Paul. He is a Jew, and he is a representative of the family of Shem in the Old Testament. In chapter 10, we see the conversion of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a representative of the racial family of Japheth in the Old Testament. So we see a reversal of the curse of the Tower of Babel right here in these three chapters. Now, I know that's a little deep for us to understand, but I want to let you know the Bible is a unique book. And even something that happens in the Old Testament, Pentecost is an answer to it all. He reversed the curse in the Old Testament at the Tower of Babel. He confused their language. But in the book of Acts chapter 2, they're speaking in unknown tongues. They're speaking in tongues as well that can be discerned and heard. And here we see that furthered in the Bible. So notice this man here is an Ethiopian. He possibly had come from the area right in Africa, right below Egypt there, close to the Nile. And Christianity came to Ethiopia at a very early date when you study it in history. It could be very well because this man, who we're still talking about right here, went all the way back carrying such a message. Now I want you to notice this as well. The Ethiopian in the story was a eunuch, and in the East, eunuchs often attained these very high positions of great authority. He seems to be what we would label as a God-fearing Gentile, which means that he was a convert to Judaism there. He comes from his pagan religion there. He joins that, and in the Jewish religion, however, he can come into Judaism, but he would have to stay at a certain distance in the court of the Gentiles, and there were certain things that he could do. But notice this as well. As we look at this man, he comes all the way to Jerusalem to see this holy city. Now, this is a great journey from him. But let me ask you this question here today, and I found in my own mind and studying and praying about this. What did this Ethiopian man come to see? No doubt he had heard about God. No doubt maybe in a sense that he had put his faith in him to a certain level, and he comes all the way to Jerusalem to hear about the God of Solomon, about the God of David, and he comes all the way to Jerusalem, and there I just picture him seeing the temple and the splendor and maybe the camel, all these different things we could look at, the Jewish religion, things that he had read about, but now is he beholding this for the first time? But from what we understand in the New Testament, this man would have came all the way from the south of Egypt there, all the way to Jerusalem, and I guarantee he was sorely disappointed. How bitterly disappointed this man must have been to see the materialism, to see the hypocrisy, to see the intolerance, to see the squabbles and the sectarianism and the deadness of Judaism. That's what Jesus exposes about the Jewish religion. He realizes they are bankrupt and empty, and there are these people that are full of all these different spirits and attitudes. But how long was he there? We do not know. But nevertheless, he did come. But can I say to you today, and to bring this to an application today, what does people with seeking hearts see when they come into Abundant Life Tabernacle? Just like this man came all the way from Ethiopia and he came to Jerusalem to hear more about the truth. When somebody walks through those doors, is this a place that they experience the truth of God Almighty? Are they enamored by the fervency and the intimacy of your worship? When they come to church, is this what they're saying? My heart is seeking, my heart is hungry, and I came to Abundant Life Tabernacle, and it was there that I experienced the presence of the Lord. But I'm gonna tell you what I hear a lot of times, and not necessarily about us here, because I'm trusting God that we are a church that is attractive in the sense of our devotion and love to Christ and God Almighty. I know we may not be as stagey as some churches in this new age, but God, let us be a people of fervency and a fiery love for the truth, that people with seeking hearts can notice that when they walk through the doors. That's what seeking hearts are looking for. Authenticity. The truth. Do we really believe what we are saying? Do we really have the Spirit of Christ? Well, I've told you this 1,000 times. It would be easy for me to get up here and to lead a production every Sunday and to try to get the lighting just right, to try to appeal to the flesh of humanity. I don't have no desire to that. If anybody's attracted to this church, let them be attracted to the Spirit of God. Let them be attracted to truth. Let them be attracted to worship. Let them be attracted to His Word. If you don't build a people that's attracted to His Word, you're constantly going to have to move and motivate to change things to fit their opinion. So what do they see when they come here? No doubt this Ethiopian would have been discouraged in the sense and thought maybe he'd have seen a little bit more. And can you imagine what it's like here as this man is leaving the temple, and maybe he talked to a few priests, and once again, he is a Gentile, but he was a God-fearer is what they called him. And maybe he talked to a few different priests and he's seen the emptiness of that. And just follow me here, because I'm trying to make this interesting in the sense, because it probably did happen something like this. But before he leaves Jerusalem, he stops by the local bookstore, even though it probably wouldn't be termed that. And you know what? He's going to go there. Maybe one of the priests told him, before you leave Jerusalem, you know, you are a wealthy nobleman. You ought to pick up some of the, maybe one of the scrolls of the Old Testament. So there, here it is. He goes to the bookstore there in Jerusalem. You understand what I'm saying? And there he picks out, he asked the guy behind the counter, what is a good scroll that I can take back, that I can learn more about Jehovah God, that I can learn more about Yahweh? And one of them looks at him and says, you know what?
I have a scroll of Isaiah right here, and it will be an excellent fit to your library. I feel like it'll be very beneficial to you, Mr. Ethiopian. But notice what happens here. Because this man was returning in verse 28 and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. He obviously had purchased one. Everybody agrees on that. He purchased one, or somebody has given him one. He bought a copy of this. And can I say from reading the book of Isaiah, good choice, Mr. Ethiopian. I don't know if he can have found a better Old Testament book that captures the New Testament, the gospel, in such a magnificent way. But notice this, all of this is a part of God's providence. Him going to Jerusalem at the time he did. Him getting the scroll of Isaiah when he got it. For him to sit there and start reading this. He found the scroll here, and he has a hungry heart. He's reading there in the book of Isaiah all these different things. But notice what verse 29 says. Notice this. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, this is the second time God's speaking to Philip, first time through an angel, this time through the Spirit, and said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Now, Brother Derek, I want us to get this. This man is a wealthy Ethiopian. It would be equivalent to there being a wealthy foreign person in town riding around in a limo, and me running down the road at the beckoning call of the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord say, then the Spirit spake unto Derek and says, go near and join thyself to his limo. It'd be equivalent. This chariot, no doubt, when you study the Ethiopians, how much detail and how much, can you imagine that? And all of a sudden, here Philip is. I mean, notice how sensitive he is to the Holy Ghost. Here he is, he's there. And the Lord says, go join yourself to that chariot. What sensitivity. This time the Spirit spoke to him. Hey, not to hesitate. For the traveler, this man was obviously a person of much importance heading back home. But there at this moment, he's reading there in the scroll about Isaiah and these words. And listen to what one writer said about this, and I found it amazing. Maybe this is what one writer said about this moment where God's speaking to Philip, because it says this in verse 30. Listen to what it says in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. So the Spirit speaks to Philip, and Philip feels urgency because the Bible says he runs to this chariot. Listen to what John Philip said, and you have to love his imagination. The Spirit says, run, Philip, run. The compulsion of the Holy Spirit was unmistakable. It was not just that he might miss the traveler, but he might miss the text here. The Holy Spirit knew just how far the eunuch had read down there on the scroll. He knew he had come to chapter 53. He knew how far down in that chapter he was in. Philip, go at this moment. This is the opportunity, and this is what Philip does. He goes there to this man at the exact moment. Church, hear me. Personal evangelism, timing matters. Whew. Well, I told him the truth, and I'm right. Was it the right time to tell him the truth? Huh? Well, that doesn't matter. It does matter. And that's why your prayer life, you ought to learn to practice sensitivity to God Almighty. You know what? I've got lost loved ones right now. I've got lost brothers. I pray for the right timing to talk to them. Now, when I first got saved, it was not so. Matter of fact, every time I got an opportunity, I can't believe you ain't in church. What are you still doing in the hog pen down there? And finally, my younger brother, and it's true, he started to resent me just a little bit. And then my older brother, I would go months and months without talking to him because I realized it was more my attitude. Yes, I was telling him the truth, but you can have the right verse, but the wrong moment. You can have the right verse, but the wrong spirit. All of that matters in personal evangelism. I hope the Holiness Church gets this. First time somebody comes to church. Oh, they ought to do it. No. Slow down. Take it easy. Let the word work. Let the Spirit work. If we learn to be sensitive, I feel like my relationship with our brothers now, even though they are not serving the Lord, I feel like there is a level of respect that they have for me, that I'm able to sit out there beside a grill or around a holiday season, and I'm standing beside my brother. How's things going? I'm saying, well, the church is doing good and God's doing this. And I can see now every time I'm around him, when I spoke at his wedding, tears are running down his face. When I preached my grandfather's funeral, tears are running down his face. Why is that? Because personal evangelism, timing does matter. If you have a lost child here today, timing matters. Don't be, I think I've shared this with you before. I was preaching in Ohio one time, way back in the middle of nowhere. And I was preaching for a certain family, precious family. It was a man and his wife. And it was just a small church, and they're trying to keep things. They didn't have a pastor, and they ask everybody that comes through there to pastor the church. If you're a holiness man, when I went there, they said, they're going to ask you to pastor, so get ready for that. When Brother Shane was in Ohio, I said, you ought to go there and preach to good people. I said, I'm surprised that they don't ask you to pastor. Man leans up beside me, he says, we're good folks. I said, I know you are. He said, you want to pastor us? I said, well, it's a little quick, you know. First, but nevertheless, I'm sitting in the living room one day, and they have already, this man and his wife had already told me that their children are not saved. And I said, well, we're praying for them. Lord, deal with their hearts. Well, in walks his daughter. Okay, I've never met her before. And she might be, there was an elder couple, and I forget exactly how old the daughter was, but maybe mid-40s or something like that. And she sits down on the couch, and this is what the mother says. This is my daughter. She needs to get saved. She's going to the bad place. And that's what she says. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, hey, how are you doing? That's not what you want to do. Invite her to church. Let me talk to her for 10 minutes. See if the Spirit, I'm going to be there for several days. See if the Spirit of God doesn't work out something while we are there. God sent us a revival. So what I'm trying to tell you is this, and I know you know this, but it's good to be reminded. We got to do more than just tell the truth. Timing does matter, church. It does matter. Now I want you to think about this Ethiopian here. He's got the whole scroll. I just picture it just like this. In my mind, take it or leave it, he's read all the way up to chapter 53. He's went through Isaiah chapter 6 in the year that King Uzziah died. The Lord's high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy. Maybe he's came to the place that he sends me as scarlet. Maybe he's got down to Isaiah 55. Come, all ye that are thirsty, come to the waters. Come buy of wine and milk without money and without cost. But then all of a sudden he comes to Isaiah 53. He lets us know about it. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and I'm not going to read all that to you, but notice he gets to this passage here and he's a puzzled man. Have you ever read through one of the prophets and got puzzled? I'm a New Testament pastor and I get puzzled. I know an Ethiopian who have not met Christ, I don't know anything about it. I know he's probably getting confused. All of you teachers that went through the book of Ezekiel, aren't you glad he didn't get that one first? Remember, there's no New Testament yet. But I don't know what it is when I've met some new converts. Where should I start reading at? Where are you reading at right now? Book of Revelation? Why there? But here, he has the scroll of Isaiah. He comes to a perfect point. And notice this. He comes up here. Philip asks him the question, do you understand what you are reading? And listen to the Ethiopian. He said, how can I except some man guide me? What does all of this even mean? And he desired that Philip would come down and sit with him. I want you to notice that. Philip was a cordial person. He's looking for the right opportunity. So Philip asked the question to this educated man, this wealthy man, and this man does not understand what is going on here. And he's at this passage here. He talks about Jesus being silent. And this is what the Bible says Philip did. He preached Jesus Christ unto him. Church, hear me. There's somebody that's got a seeking heart. Don't start with the standards. Don't start with a prophecy. I love prophecy, but I've seen churches that are based on prophecy suffer and never see any growth. Why is that? Because they don't know anything about personal evangelism. We've got to tell them, number one, you know what you ought to be able to do if you're a Christian here today? It doesn't matter what passage it is. You ought to be able to point out Jesus. If you're telling kids about Joseph, you can point out Jesus. If you're telling kids about any, you can take a passage in the Bible. And that's what Philip saw here. He didn't see the necessity right here to tell him about the Jewish ways or tell him what it is to become a member of the church. And no, he said, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to preach Jesus unto him. And that's the most important thing that we can share. He was at that portion, talks about Jesus being silent before the shearers there. What a beautiful passage. Maybe Philip said something like this. Well, Mr. Ethiopian, understand right here, there was a man by the name of Jesus, and he was standing there in front of Pilate. And you know, you were just in Jerusalem. Did you see all those religious hypocrites walking? He probably didn't say it so meanly, but understand, those Pharisees walking around. It was those scoundrels that killed Jesus. You know, he didn't say anything. He went willfully, and what happened there? Like a lamb to the slaughter. Who's going to declare his generation? He died for our sins. He rose again. And that's what he's telling this Ethiopian man. And then the second question the Ethiopian asks is this. He said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or another man? So the Ethiopian is saying, is Isaiah talking about himself or another man? And I just see Philip saying, oh, he's talking about another man. Isaiah's good, sir, but look, this is bigger than Isaiah. Aren't you glad you heard about that other man? Aren't you glad you heard about Jesus? Aren't you glad you heard about the Son of God? Notice here, that's what happens here in the book of Acts several times. It reminds me of Nicodemus asking the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Or what about the Philippian jailer saying, what must I do to be saved? But what about on the day of Pentecost? Of what shall we do to be saved? This man here is asking questions. And aren't you glad when somebody asks the right question? Church, hear me, because this is where this message came from. All right, I believe there's people right at our fingertips. Have you ever noticed? And I know we have visitors here, so I'm not singling out just maybe newer folks, newer faces. But in reality, over the years since I have been here, I have seen a lot of people come and go. Have we done everything we can to reach out to them? In personal evangelism? Or are you afraid of the questions? Why do you do it that way? Well, you just shouldn't do it. No, you've got to have an answer. When God is dealing with a seeking heart, we've got to be people of answers. Notice Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures already mentioned to you, and he began to preach Christ unto him. That is our job. But notice what happens here in this divine moment. Faith was exercised, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That's a good time to talk about water baptism, isn't it? I wish it was this way all the time. I wish somebody would come to me and say, when's a good time to be baptized, Brother Derek? But I want you to notice this. It's all right to ask the question. And the answer is simple. Listen to what Philip did say unto this man. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Notice this. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So notice there with water baptism, there is a condition and a confession. What's the condition? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus with all your heart? Now this is important. Somebody comes to our church. They put faith in Christ. We don't have to wait for them to become a member to baptize them, do we? No, sir. Now, I'm a young pastor, and I'll be honest with you, the first person I baptized was here at Abundant Life Tabernacle. When I first started pastoring confession, I'm looking for the probation period. How long should they be saved before I can trust that they should be baptized? You know, you can get a lot of trouble with that. When somebody believes on Christ, you can baptize them. Then people get to a certain age. Now, I don't believe in baptizing infants. We're not Catholic and all that. But if I have my little girl come to me at a significant age, she knows right and wrong, and she's believed on Jesus, she's going underwater, buddy. That's not going to seal her redemption. But I want her to be involved in what we believe. This man said, what's keeping me from being baptized? Oh, have you believed on Jesus with your whole heart?
I believe that Jesus Christ, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, what beautiful things. Personal evangelism is to get to that starting point. Number one, have they confessed that Jesus is the Son of God? It goes on to say, his faith was exhibited then, not only expressed, and he commanded the chariot to stop the chariot. He's right. I just picture him riding on. Right, you know, I don't know if I want to ride in a chariot. I look back then and seen depictions of that. Don't look too sturdy. But the riding, he just stands still. He calls the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So notice this. This baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. Notice that. But not only that, it is a time of a testimony to the onlooker as well. Imagine going down the road. And you look over there in the water and you see this black man, this Ethiopian, with a fancy chariot limo sitting out there beside the water. And you got Philip, who was just down in Samaria, and somebody recognized, hey, Philip, what are you doing way out here? Well, it's a long story. An angel spoke to me. I came up on the situation at the right moment. He was reading. He had just got back from Jerusalem. And the Ethiopians were like, hey, I'm from Ethiopia there. He said, I got back from the right moment. He bought this scroll. I explained Jesus to him. He said, what's keeping me from getting baptized? I believe. And that's why we're down here. Would you like to join the baptismal service? Get on the other side. He's a little heavy. Do you see how beautiful this is? But this is the goal of personal evangelism. So notice this, and when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. How beautiful. Here this Ethiopian comes up out of the water. I just picture hand raised, water dripping off of him. He looks around, and Philip has been transported to another village nearby, and he's preaching Jesus. It's amazing. Can you imagine the Ethiopian when he gets home? Sweetie, you won't believe this. How was your little pilgrimage there? I'm glad you finally got to go. I know you've been saving for it. It was wonderful. I went to Jerusalem. It was full of just a bunch of mess. Nice buildings, but sorry people. I mean, they're letting sick people lay around, and they're arguing about the Sabbath, and they're going on. They're hypocrites, and I've seen so much of this and that. But on the way out, I stopped by the local bookstore. I picked up a scroll of Isaiah. I'm there. I get reading through it. I couldn't put it down. But all of a sudden, a man shows up. His name's Philip. I didn't know that at the time. He shows up and says, hey, what you reading? Do you understand it? And it goes on. Honey, it was an amazing experience. But not only that, when I got up out the water, he disappeared. And she's probably like, okay. It's a lot to take in. But not only that, he works for the queen. Can you imagine clocking in that morning? How was your trip, buddy? Yeah, well, went to Jerusalem, and I'm not going to go through that again. And she's probably thinking, really? And there's a man named Jesus. Can you see how there was a testimony established in Ethiopia in early church history? I do. So notice this, and this is my closing thoughts. Notice what happens. He comes up the water. Philip is gone. He went on his way rejoicing. If you're here today and you're looking for joy, there's nothing like the joy of your salvation. David is crying out in his failure in Psalms 51, Lord, restore unto me the joy. You know what we need in a lot of our hearts, I believe, in the Christian world is a joy restoration. Like this Ethiopian, how many remembers the divine appointment in your life? I want you to think. If you're truly born again, you can go back to somewhere at some point in time, and you may not have been Philip, and I'm pretty sure you won't drive in a chariot, but something, somewhere changed your life. And how many remembers the joy that has accompanied it? As my wife comes to the piano. And I'm just going to say a few more thoughts about Philip here just because you have to acknowledge him, okay? He comes about the water, and Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, and he came to Caesarea. Do you know you don't hear about Philip anymore to Acts chapter 21? What's Philip doing then? And they came there, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, who did prophesy. He was a good father. God, what are you trying to accomplish here today? Number one, let me just get you these closing points. We ought to look for divine appointments. Hear me today, church. If you've been here 30 years, this is your first service. If you've only been here three times, I've been here 4 years. I can consider these divine appointments. Divine appointments. Not only that, I believe we'll have a unique sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, just like Philip. Everybody in this room, you ought to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Number three, this is why we go and do outreach. This is why we go to nursing homes or homeless shelters or to jailhouses or witness on the job. Why is that? Because there may be, and this story is an Ethiopian, but it may be at the person at the desk beside you who comes to that particular point, maybe not in the book of Isaiah, but they come to a point in their life that they're waiting for somebody to ask the right question. We've got to do this. We've got to look for divine appointments. Every visitor, every family member, and your neighbor. I would say to you this morning, it's no accident you're here, not in the economy of God. If you look at your life just as a series of happenstance and uncertainty, I can look at you this morning and know that God's given me this message and say, look, if you're here today and you're searching, you have come to the right place, because there was a man named Jesus. I can say to you, if you put your faith in Him, you can get baptized. Even though that doesn't save you, it's an outward symbol. What I'm saying is you can go forward in your faith. I'm going to share this story with you, and then we're going to pray. Stand to your feet, if you would. Stand to your feet. I would say, guesstimating, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was preaching in Richmond, Indiana, for a close friend at that time, a brother, his name was Matt Smith, just a small little hole in his church. And I was there preaching, had a good little three-night meeting, had a good revival. And after service that Friday night, there was a good-sized group of us. Brother Smith, Brother Matthew there said, I'm going to take you to the Pizza King. And it sounded good to me. It was a unique experience. I walked into this restaurant, and I'm telling all this for a reason. I walked into this restaurant, and it was decorated, had an old bus inside of it. It was a unique, it almost looked like something in a theme park. I mean, just saying, had all this unique design and stuff. We sit down at the table, and you have to order from a phone. It's pretty interesting. You pick a phone up there at the table, and you can look down there. They wave at you, and you order your pizza. And it's kind of made to be like you're outside, inside. It was pretty interesting. Well, we eat the pizza. There's probably 20 of us there, so we eat the pizza. I ain't going to tell you what time of night it was, but anytime's good for pizza. Say amen. So here it is. This woman comes to the table, and I've never seen her before. I'm in Richmond, Indiana. If I was to say, it's probably every bit of 10 to 12 hours from here, something like that. And this woman's there, and Brother Matt's a very bold soul. He said, hey, we're in revival. Okay. She said, that's good. Where do you go to church at? And said, you know, up here, you know, I forget the name of the church, something Tabernacle. And said, this is our evangelist. He was pointing to me. His name is Derek Jones. He's from North Carolina. She said, really? I'm from North Carolina. I said, really? What part? Manio, North Carolina. I said, really? I said, well, there's a gentleman. My pastor is Irvin Ambrose. Irvin Ambrose, that's my cousin. You understand what I'm saying here? It's my cousin. Is he still pastoring? Yes. And I remember talking to her. She never came to church. It might have been the last night of the meeting. I'm trying to remember exactly the context. Tell Irvin hello. And I forget her name exactly. And she said, tell him to be praying for me. I called Brother Irvin up when I left. He said, you've got to be kidding me. You know, we hadn't seen her. She'd moved when she was a teenager years ago. She's lived a rough life. What I'm saying is there's divine appointments in life. There's divine appointments. Brother James tells us yesterday, men's fellowship, he said, there's a guy I'm working with. He cusses like crazy. But I told him about Jesus. And he said, I need to be saved. Divine appointments. If everybody in this room would look for those divine appointments, and you would pray for Holy Ghost sensitivity, don't you think we could grow this church? Don't you think God could do mighty things in our midst? Personal evangelism. What I want to do today, I know we have our first Sunday fellowship dinner. I feel like this message has been well received. Thank you for your attention. But I want to pray, number one, how many wants to pray for a sensitivity to the voice of God? Number two, I want you to pray that God will give you divine opportunities and appointments. And number three, and what touches my heart the most, I guess, is what the birth of this message was. When God gives you divine appointments, take advantage of them. If somebody comes here or somebody comes into your life, call them, text them, write them a letter. Let them know that God has put you in my life for a reason and I want to reach you. I know many of you put in prayer requests for your co-workers. Keep doing it. If you're here and you're seeking, like that Ethiopian, God's got an answer for you. There's a man. His name is Jesus. If you're lost here today, you can give your heart to Jesus. And just like that Ethiopian that was seeking, you can go home rejoicing, knowing that God has great things in store. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to do my gospel preacher. If you are lost here today, and you feel like this is a divine appointment, something that has been said, a message in this message, a word, and you feel like you want to surrender your life to Christ, would you slip your hand up towards heaven? Nobody's looking but me, and I will not embarrass you. I will not embarrass you. Anybody today? If you are lost here today, I do want to let you know this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity right here. The words you hear, the spirit you have felt, the tears in your eyes, this is your opportunity to repent. Right. Let's pray right now. Nobody has raised their hands. Let's pray right now for your own life as a Christian that you'll be a better witness. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us. Help us, Holy Ghost. Just as Philip was moved on by the Spirit of God, and there the door was open for him to witness at the right moment, I would that everybody in this room would recognize divine appointments, sacred opportunities. I would that you'd anoint us for the hour. God, you were working on that Ethiopian just as well as you're working on Philip. I believe right now you're working on hearts. They may be a visitor on Wednesday night. They may be somebody that just drops her kids off on Wednesday night, Lord. But God, let it be a divine appointment. Let there be a word spoken from a teacher. Let there be a conversation. Maybe they just visit occasionally. God, let it be a divine appointment. If somebody's lost and their heart is seeking, Lord, and they can't find it in the religion of the day, just like this Ethiopian couldn't find it in Jerusalem. Where Jerusalem let them down, Jesus will not let us down. Oh, the name! I feel the Spirit of God, Lord, that we need to pray for sensitivity, God. But God, when God speaks to us, we need to obey Him. We need to obey Him, Lord. And God, if you call us to leave Samaria like you did Philip, to go to a desert place, let us go there, Lord, with a willing heart. I feel it in my spirit. Holy Ghost, hallelujah. 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 Church, I'm going to charge you before we dismiss today because I feel to do so in my spirit. I feel in my heart that if we would reach out to the ones that God sends us, and we would have a sensitivity in the spirit, and you would be sensitive. If it's writing a letter, making a phone call, or sending a note, a text message, an email, I believe God's going to do greater things right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle if you will take advantage of those opportunities. How many wants to do that? I love you and I appreciate you, but I want us to be a church. I feel such a sweet presence. I want you to commit yourself to that. As we dismiss today, I know God's going to do great things for us. Let's work as a team. Let's motivate this thing. Let's see people added to the kingdom of God. Amen. I do love and appreciate you. God bless you. Our first Sunday fellowship dinner is going to be directly in the gym. You're welcome to stay. Everybody's invited. God bless you. Let's look for these divine appointments. Let your neighbor know you love them. God bless you. Have a good day. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Brother Shane will be bringing the word. Amen, amen.